This is David Wilson, running back for the New York Giants. You're listening to The Clubhouse with Kyle Bailey.
Welcome back to The Clubhouse. Final segment here in hour number one, joined in studio by Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. I am Kyle Bailey. Wolfgang Goelke's here, too. Just so you know. You can give us a phone call, 639-4900, the Phillips Real Estate Hotline. I'm like scrambling here, Chris, to find out what the if there's an early line on Virginia Tech, Ohio State. Oh, I can't find.
There's got to be somewhere.
Wait a second. Here it is. No, that was from last year. Yeah, I don't know. I can't find it. I thought someone would have some way too early lines out by now.
Yeah, you would think.
But
maybe they're waiting until. Maybe they'll probably come out in the next week or so now that spring practice has settled out.
Yeah, I could see that. Okay, here we go. I found something. But that's a lot of math and charts. I don't know.
That's too much for me.
That's way too much. I don't want to touch that. All right, here we go. So Chris Coleman's in studio with us. One more thing about the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I made this case the other day. Michael Brewer's thrown 48 passes at the Division I level. He completed 34 of them.
Yes, he did.
That's good.
Yes.
For those keeping track at home. But at the same time, he's never been a starter.
Sure.
Never played a full season at the Division I level.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if he's actually prone to injury or if it was a one-time deal. We have no idea. He's got some nice pedigree. I mean, won a couple of state championships in Texas. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
But my overriding point here is that Michael Brewer might be a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. He might not be that good. We just don't know.
We don't know until we put him out there.
Right?
We won't know until we put him out there without a yellow jersey. I mean, I'll remember the very first spring game I ever came to was 1999.
Yeah.
Michael Vick. I heard big things about this kid, so I got my parents to bring me up to the spring game when I was 16 years old.
Yeah.
He goes like 2 of 11. And I'm like, well, Dave Meyer is going to be our starting quarterback this year. Not so much, right?
Dave Meyer was a good backup.
He was. And he would have been a good starter if Vic hadn't existed.
I wonder if he's still salty about that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'd like to ask him.
Yeah.
So, all right, that's the quarter. Oh, no, it's not. Chris Durkin. There's a lot of buzz about this kid, right?
Yeah.
And I get it. Like, he's 6'3", 235. You ever seen his – well, you've seen his dad.
I met his dad on Saturday. If Chris Durkin can play quarterback, his dad can be his left guard or something.
Oh, my God.
Like that.
I'm telling you, like, if Durkin sticks around, you're going to get to know Daddy Dirk. Because this guy – he's a former minor leaguer.
Right.
And evidently just a weight room junkie. I mean, this guy has
shoulders. How many home runs did this guy hit in the minors?
I don't know. But, I mean, he's got shoulders that look like bowling balls.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think he's like a fitness trainer or something.
Oh, yeah.
This guy's huge. Anyway, so, I mean, but I just don't buy the whole Chris Durkin going to come in as a freshman and be an impact player. I can't buy it. Right,
I love Durkin's potential because of his size. I think he's got a great work ethic.
Yes,
and he's got
yes.
a big arm. But you're talking about a guy who never threw for 1,000 yards in a season in high school.
Mm-hmm.
He might be a really good thrower right now.
Yeah.
But he's going to have to be a passer. And he's not going to be able to become a passer in 3 weeks of practice in the month of August.
Right.
So if Andrew Ford at this point probably isn't going to play as a true freshman this
no,
year.
No, there's
so,
no way.
So if Andrew Ford's not going to play, and Andrew's already had a spring and he's much more advanced as a passer, if he's not going to play, then there's no way Chris Durkin's going to play.
That makes sense. I mean, that makes logical sense.
Yeah.
You know, football.
And that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. We need to redshirt our freshman quarterbacks like that. Most teams don't throw 3-star true freshmen into the fire at quarterback.
Yeah.
If they do, they lose a lot of football games.
Yeah.
Right?
I hear you. I do. I hear you. I think it's an excellent point. Let's go back to the Ohio State thing real fast. If I asked you, give me a line on that game, week 2, Tech, Ohio State, you know, Ohio State's bringing back a nice group.
17-20 is where I think it'll
be. That's what you think it'll be?
Yeah.
Do you?
Something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, I think when you just way too early breakdown, I think it's going to be with a young offense that may surprise you. It may not. I honestly don't know at this point. But
yeah.
What I will say is that it just kind of you think about it in the same terms as you have a couple of games the past 2 years that, well, the defense is going to keep you in it. It'll probably be a 3 or 7 point game at halftime, and then they make a play and the offense can't respond in the second half, and it gets out of control.
And what happens on special teams? I mean, that's a big question mark. We don't know.
I mean,
if Virginia Tech, but special teams is a thing where, you know, even if you're bad at special teams, you could have one really good game. Special teams is like baseball, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm a Braves fan, and they were 17-7, and then they just got swept by the Marlins, right? I mean, that's baseball.
Yeah.
Special teams is kind of like that, too, sometimes. I mean, you could have one guy could bust a coverage and allow a kickoff return for a touchdown, and that's it, and that could be the difference of the game. And so you just never know how things like that are going to go. Ohio State wasn't good defensively last year.
They were not. They were bad, actually.
Right, they were excellent offensively. I mean, those guys were average, what, about 45 points a game like that.
Oh, yeah.
And had a couple of games where they scored in the 70s. I think Tech's defense is really, really fast. But I think you got to hold these guys.
To beat them, you got to hold them under 24 points.
Yeah, that's a good line right there, I think. And I don't think anybody did that last year.
No,
did Michigan State do it in the Big Ten Championship?
Well, no, Ohio State came on in the second half.
Okay.
Because it looked like it was going to be a rout.
Right, right. Early on it did, yeah.
Early on it did, but then Ohio State came back to put some points up. I think it's...
You got to be able to score to beat these guys.
Yeah,
put it that way.
No question.
Yeah.
Quickly also, we were breaking down the ACC Coastal the other day, and the way that I put it was, do I expect Virginia Tech to win the Coastal Division? No, I don't expect that. But you look up and down the conference right now, and you see a lot of quarterbacks in question.
Yeah.
Miami lost a quarterback to an ACL tear. Georgia Tech's got a brand new kid in there who, just like Vadley, is the next coming of Christ. North Carolina, terrible defense. Marquise Williams going to be a first-time starter.
Even if he's starting. I mean, they're not even sure he's going to start.
And Duke... Yeah, Anthony Boone's coming back, but more often than not, Duke didn't win games because of Anthony Boone.
No, he threw 13 interceptions to go along with his 13 touchdown passes. And I broke this down in a Friday Q&A today. If you look at all the quarterbacks that Virginia Tech is going to face this year, Boston College has already named Tyler Murphy their starting quarterback, the Florida transfer. And he's a guy, he can run, but, man, he can't pass for anything.
No.
If Virginia Tech gets good quarterback play this year and gets a guy back there who limits turnovers, they can definitely win this division. There's no question in my mind.
Well, it's something that I've been harping on for several months now, actually, and I said it again a couple of days ago, that if they can find a way to be a top 50 or top 60 offense, I would just go ahead and probably book my ticket to Charlotte.
I think I would, too.
I mean,
if you could guarantee me right now that Virginia Tech, maybe even top 70, I would say, that they're going to finish that high in total offense, I would go ahead and book my hotel room down there.
Well, yes, because, again, the offense is in question, but if the offense can be top 50, top 60... Georgia Tech, Miami, North Carolina, awful defense.
Oh, my gosh. And Miami's offense, I think, is going to be pretty bad. They're going to be able to run the football, but...
When you can stack nine in the box and just watch what Duke Johnson does, I mean, unless they find a way to get great quarterback play.
Right. I mean, and their starter right now is a redshirt freshman. His backup's a redshirt sophomore who was going to be third string until Ryan Williams got hurt. And then they got two true freshmen coming in.
Yeah.
So chances are they're not going to put... They were all awful in the spring game. In Miami spring game, which, by the way, always featured one touchdown.
Yeah.
So
against that defense,
why in the national media spending the week hammering Miami?
And I know we have Miami fans that listen to the show. I get it. Like I don't hate Miami. Like I really don't. I don't. I'm kind of indifferent about Miami.
Uh-huh.
But my thing is that it's unreasonable to expect a defense that was atrocious last year to suddenly be good.
Right.
It's just unreasonable.
Mm-hmm.
They have great athletes, but it's just unreasonable to expect
right.
that. Same thing with North Carolina. They were horrible. Horrible on defense last year. Georgia Tech was better,
mm-hmm.
but the offense wasn't great. You're counting on a brand new quarterback to suddenly take that offense
lost
to the promised land?
A Toaka kid,
yeah.
Linebacker, yeah.
Yeah, I think, again, you know, Virginia Tech may finish second to last in the Coastal, but if the offense can be top 50 or top 60, I'd probably go ahead and book your tickets to go watch Jameis Winston throttle some people.
Yeah. You know, I think there's about five teams in the Coastal you can make a legitimate argument for, but... I still think if Virginia Tech doesn't turn the football over this year, they're going to be right there. They could easily win this division.
Hey, quickly, I got about 30 seconds here. Whit Babcock says, from what I'm reading, I saw a post earlier over on the Key Play that they're bringing back all maroon everything, and that there is a chance, bear in mind, Stick It In might come back.
Thank goodness. I hope so. Especially, we need a new uniform direction at Virginia Tech, in my opinion.
Well,
whatever that direction is, just not what we've been doing in the past.
Look, I get it. Like, flashy uniforms are fun for young players and recruits and things like that. But, I mean, when you're trying to establish and maintain a brand and identity, there is no other brand or identity than Virginia Tech and all maroon everything.
I hate the uniforms we've worn the last couple of years, most of them. I just haven't liked... If we're going to play bad offense and not score, at least do it in good-looking uniforms.
I did
right?
like the Hokie Stone helmets, though.
They were pretty good.
The all-maroon with the Hokie. I like that, too.
Yep.
Thanks, dude. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
Hour number two is up next. Anton Exum joins us at 5:20. Y'all keep it live. The Super Sports, 101.7.